I want you guys to know something. I'm fighting back the tears to see everybody. Man, so good to be back in the Lord's house with people. Never realized the blessing of a church family. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We're going to take this psalm tonight and go through it. And I trust that we can learn from it tonight a valuable lesson. I want you to notice tonight, I'd like for all of us to have a grateful heart. Tonight, if I were to show you a glass and it was clear and it had water up to there, and I were to say to you, Brother Travis, how much is in this glass? And he would say, half full. I would ask Brother Kevin or somebody else, they would say, half empty. It depends on your perspective. If your gas tank is sitting right in the middle, is it half full or half empty? Well, tonight, I want to draw your attention that I do believe that God wants His children to look at things always on the positive, always from the perspective of, look what God has done for me, rather than, oh no, I wonder what's next. One, to build our faith. I want you to notice, if you would, Psalm 107. Look in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now you'll notice verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 21, same thing. Look at verse 31, same thing. What the Lord is saying in this psalm is there are a couple things you must know. Number one, God's nature is He's good to us. God's nature is that He wants to be good to everybody in this room. His desire is to be good to you. And He is good to all of us. You'll notice He says in verse number one, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. One of the things I want you to leave here tonight with in your mind is God is good within His nature. And I know Him. And so then when difficulty comes, like when Job faces it, or someone faces a difficult situation, the one fundamental underlying thing we know is, I know God is good. It helps you look at the difficulty and say it's half full. You'll notice number two, he says in verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. The second thing I want you to learn is to always be grateful to the Lord. Always lift Him up. Always remind Him for His goodness, even though you're going through a difficult time. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, he says, the reason we can always, or we should always praise Him is because, you'll notice verse 8, for His wonderful works to the children of men. His goodness results in wonderful works toward us. So tonight, I want you to see a cycle. If you're a young person or if you're an older person, the cycle is the same. It's the same because God is good and we are fleshly. The more spiritual we become, the more we stunt the cycle. But I want you to notice the cycle. God in His nature is good. He wants to bless you. He gives you wonderful blessings, wonderful works, and those wonderful works have an effect on us in our flesh. Now, everyone in this room has got to recognize this. It is in our nature. It's in our DNA. It's to take the blessings of God for ourselves. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, you remember in Acts chapter 5, God had blessed Ananias and Sapphira. They had a piece of land that they did not need. the blessing of God. And they took it and said, well, because we've got this blessing, let's get some extra respect because of God's blessing, what we've got. And Peter said, look, while it was in your possession, wasn't it yours to do what you wanted to with? Why would you act like this and try to deceive people into thinking you're giving all of it so you can get credit? Why would you do that? It's our nature. Our nature is to take advantage of the blessings of God. Now, God is good to everybody in this room. He's good to give us the mates that we have. He's good to give us the children that we have. He's good to give us the jobs. He's good to give us the health. He's good to give us a church family. God is good to us, and he's been good to us. And there's a lot of wonderful works. If we sit down and started listing his wonderful works, we say, oh, my goodness, there's so many things. Now, I want you to notice, number one, the Lord rewards and blesses his children, and he wants us to enjoy the blessings. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We looked at this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I want you to notice the last two verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof. Now there's two parts to that. Number one, God's given riches and wealth. The Bible says time and chance happeneth to all. If you have riches and wealth, then there are some things that have happened to you. One, you're probably a hard worker. Two, you've probably used some of the gifts God's given to you, your mind, your body, in a way to acquire wealth. Three, you've probably been fairly good with your money, or you would not have acquired wealth. You would have had to have saved a little bit, not spend it all. Or you've had such a good job that you make so much money, you don't have to save too well, and you still have wealth. What happened to the rich man when he had a great abundance of crops? He said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build new barns, and then I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, and sit down, relax, enjoy it. You see, that's our fleshly nature, to enjoy what we want and not to share it, not to be a blessing to others. One of the things that happens when God blesses us is we take our fingers and close it around the things God gives to us. We do it with our children. Oh, I'll let you, Lord, you can use my children as long as, but don't send them to the mission field. But don't, Lord, don't send them too far away. We close our hands. Lord, I want to give you my husband and my wife, but Lord, I need them. Lord, I'll give you my job, but Lord, don't take it away. Lord, I give you my health, but Lord, it's mine. That is our nature. Now notice, if you would, we are supposed to bless the Lord and praise the Lord and tell others. Number one, it's encouraging to the Lord. When we praise the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Lord, I want to lift you up for the goodness that you've given to us to have this building. I was thinking whenever the governor said you can do 50%, and I began to calculate the numbers of this building, and it's almost 600, and I said, wow, we can almost get everybody back in it, even if we section off certain rows and stuff like that. Lord, thank you. You begin to look at the blessings. I could look at it and say, man, do I really have to section all these seats off? Look at all this tape. But I purposed in my heart I was going to be grateful for getting back people to the church. I was going to be grateful the second we got a chance to do anything. I wanted Lord to know thank you. Now, I want you to understand number two, it is encouraging to others when we praise the Lord. When we're blessing the Lord, when we're giving the Lord's credit, it is encouraging to others because we're speaking about his goodness. You know, the Lord gave me a new job, or we had a man in our church that got a job this month that lost his job, and with 40 million people losing their job, he got another one. And he was so excited about what God could do. I talked to another man. He lost his job, and he got another one. So I see the Lord blessing our people. And the more you talk about to others and somebody lose their job, they can say, well, you know, God got him a job and got him a job. Then, Lord, would you bless me too? It encourages others. So it's important that we praise the Lord publicly, privately to other people. It's important that you do that. It's important because it refreshes us. It causes us to remind ourselves of the goodness of God. We forget that. You know how long it takes us to forget the goodness of God? The length of time it took the 10 lepers to say, he said, go show yourself to the priest. They turn. It took that long to forget God's blessing. So you have to remind yourself tonight, the blessings of God are going to be forgotten because that's our nature. And you and I have to ask the Lord to help us override our nature. We have to learn to be grateful. It's the nature of a child to go into a bedroom that he didn't pay for, didn't buy, didn't pick out, didn't decorate, and say, this is my room. It's in their nature. It's because, you know, we go in there, we buy a car, and, you know, we didn't build the car. We didn't, all we did was, you know, we bought it, but we bought it with the job that God gave to us, with the money that God gave to us, with the health that God gave to us, with the breath that God gave to us, but it's my car. If we're not careful, we take this with our possessions. And then the second we close our hands, we become ungrateful. We become unpraising. And then the cycle continues. The cycle starts, God blesses us. Oh, he blesses us richly. We have good health. Now, you know, with these masks and gloves, nobody ought to ever be sick again. I mean, you ought not to get any sickness because of all the preparation we've done. We ought to be able to go all the way through flu season, not a person get it. I mean, can you imagine all of this? We look at it and say, okay, look, there's some blessings to all of this. Okay, there's some blessings. Okay, what are they? Well, the blessings now, you know, maybe I'd rather have the mask off and get the flu every once in a while just so I can see everybody's faces. There's some trade-off there. Not saying that's what we want to do, but I'm just saying we look at it and we begin to see the blessing of God here. God blesses us. We get blessed very well. We get a good job. We get good health. And then all of a sudden we begin to, well, it's my body. It's my job. It's my money. And then God says, oh, wait a minute. And then he begins to correct us. He begins to restore us to the place he wants us to be. Now, how does he do that? Well, I want you to notice, if you would, look in verse 5. Look over in Psalm 107 and verse 5. Now, I want you to see the cycle in almost every one of those little five sections. And there's sections all through here, beginning with verse 1, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. In between those sections, you're going to see the same cycle. And he's repeating it over and over again, so we learn the lesson. Notice, if you would, in Psalm 107, in verse number 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry in their soul. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord. So they forsook the Lord, you'll notice, and then God sent them trouble. Notice with me, if you would, not only that, but look down in verse number 17. Notice what happens. Fools, because of their transgression, because their iniquities, are afflicted. Notice verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. So you'll see the cycle. God blesses us. We put our hands around it and say, this is mine. God says, oh, no. Everything is mine. Praise, thankful, worship. And we say, no, this is mine. And then he sends trouble and distress. Notice, if you would, in verse number 39. Again, verse 38. He blesseth them also, so if they are multiplied greatly and suffered not their cattle to decrease. Verse 39 again, they are minished. Hebrew word, they are made small, they are made scant, they are made few. and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. So what he does is he sends it upon them. Now notice, if you would, if over in Psalm 106, look if you would, in verse number 12. Psalm 106, verse 12. Now follow with me the cycle. And please, if you can identify the cycle in your life, and you can begin to put little notes in the cycle and say, I've got to fix this, then you can make a great change in your life so that the glass is half full all the time. It's even one quarter full. It's 1/8 full. You're always praising and blessing the Lord for whatever you have. But notice, if you would, verse 12. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. Verse 13. Then they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly. You'll notice they got the blessings, they praised him, then they forgot about it, and then they clutched what they had, closed their hands on it. And notice, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, in verse 15, and he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. Same type of Hebrew word over in Minished in verse 39 and brought low. He gave them what they wanted, but it didn't satisfy the soul. They put their money into bags with holes in it. And that's why I want you to understand, and I want all of us to learn the lessons. Lesson, God is good in his nature, and he's going to bless you. If you do what is right, you draw near to him, he is going to bless you. The question is, what do you do with his blessings? If we don't praise him and thank him and lift him up, the next thing that will happen is, well, this is mine. Well, I earned this. Well, I don't want to lose this. And then God has to send leanness into our soul. And then we begin to get less and less, and all the more we clutch it, the less and less of value it becomes. And then finally, God, we get to a point where we say, oh, and then we fall on our knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Notice, if you would, in verse number, take your Bible and turn over to Psalm 107. And look now, if you would, in verse 24. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lift up the waves. They mount up to the heaven, they go again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. So you see, they clutched onto what they wanted, and God sent storms. And these storms melted their heart. And then notice verse number 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man and are at their wit's end. That is God's doing for one purpose, to restore us, to bring us back close to him. So the cycle is coming back around. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as to children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now look down in verse number 10. For they verily, our fathers, correct us, chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, the way they saw fit. And sometimes we've corrected our families, our children, in the wrong way. Maybe for the wrong reason. They embarrassed us. We're upset about it. But notice verse 10. But he, for our profit, God always corrects us for our profit. It is always the goodness of God. He's trying to draw you back to him. The cycle is two-thirds of the way around, and he's bringing us to a point to where we say, okay, Lord, I forgot. You gave me the job. I forgot. You gave me my health. I forgot. You gave me my money. I forgot. You gave me my husband. You gave me my wife. You gave me my children. I forgot. I'm sorry. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. You know what God is saying? He's trying to say, look, it's the same thing a parent says when they're going to correct their children. Now, folks, listen. The world can say, don't correct your children. The world can say, look, you know, your children are human people. You treat them with respect, and it's not respectful to correct them. I want you to understand, the Bible principle is when children disobey, they're to be corrected, chastened, and brought back to a right relationship with parents and everyone around them. It is the next example from the power of God to his children. We're just following his example. But the right example of every father's correction is for the profit of the child. It is always for the profit of others. Now notice, if you would, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. No one likes to inflict pain on someone to get them to do the right thing. You know, I remember we used to have a horse, my grandparents and my uncle, and of course I loved to ride horses in Oklahoma. I'd go every year at the end of the school year, the first day of school's out, Mom, Dad, when I could go to Oklahoma. And I'd get my BB gun ready and oiled up and ready to go, and they'd drive 4 hours and drop me off in Oklahoma, and I'd stay there all summer till the last day before school started. And I'd get on my horse and I'd ride around. Well, my uncle had some horses that, you know, some of those horses were not as obedient as my horse was. And my horse had been well trained, and I was very thankful. And so you could take my horse, her name was Mitzi Miss, you could take her, and from the withers, right where the mane stops, that little tuft of hair, right there you could sit a child, and you could actually sit five or six children all the way till they're hanging on to the back of the tail, and she's not going to move. She was a kid's pony. And yet she was a quarter horse. She had spirit. She was a wonderful horse. But now my uncle, he had a horse that when you got on that horse was going to do whatever he wanted. And I remember seeing my grandfather where he was pulling briars out of his seat of his pants because he got dumped into the briar patch because the horse was not going to do what he said and dumped him. And yet you have to correct that horse or the horse is of no value. And so they had a racehorse. And the racehorse was blazing fast. Great bloodlines. They were all excited about it. Put him in a race, his first race, bolt out of the starting gates, and he's pulling away from the crowd. And he's pulling away from the rest of the horses. And it looks like he's going to win. And he gets down the track. All of a sudden, he just stops. All four wheels. Dirt starts flying. Well, guess where the jockey went? He did a face plant and just plowed it up. Well, that horse figured that he could do that and get away with it. So do you know what? From then on, same scenario. Now, there's not anything you can do when you're in a racing saddle because there's nothing to hang on to. It's light for racing. So you do have to trust the horse a little bit. Out of the starting gate, down the track, leading the pack. I want to stop. Stop. There goes the jockey. So nobody would ride him. So you know what happened? The horse came back to the barn, a beautiful racehorse that could run like the wind that was absolutely worth nothing more than a plug horse because it would not allow its spirit to be controlled by the rider. And that's what happens to a person that doesn't allow his spirit to be controlled by the Spirit of God. God says, I might as well put you out to pasture because you're of no value to me. I cannot use you. I give you an instruction. I say, right, you go left. And there's a lot of young people. Now, if you have your Bible, turn over to Psalm 107. And notice, if you would, in verse number 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. There's the blessing of the Lord. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 11. Because they rebelled against the word of the Lord, he condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down. There was none to help. So you understand that here's the cycle. God was good to them. He blessed them. And then they rebelled. They said, we don't want to do what you want. This is mine. I'm going to have what I want. The story of the prodigal son. And so God has to do several things, but the first thing he usually does, he touches the things that we clutch. He touched what of the prodigal son? His possessions, till they were all gone. That's what he touches. What did he touch of Samson? His strength, till it was gone. Whatever you and I clutch, God begins to let it go lean and scant, and it's diminished. It begins to lose its favor, begins to lose its power, or we begin to lose it. We begin to put it into a bag, and it's got holes in it. And there's nothing we can do to stop it, because it's a part of the restoration of God. It's a part of the desire to bring us back. If you have your Bible, notice, if you would, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 again. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Notice with me if you would. We're going to read verse number 19 and 20. And then a verse in chapter 6. Verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him the power to eat thereof. That's a blessing of God. Notice. And to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So listen to me tonight. If you have some blessings, if you have some possessions and you enjoy them, that is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. If you have a child that you love and enjoy, that is the gift of God. If you have some clothes in your closet that you enjoy wearing, that is the gift of God. Something that he's given to you and that you enjoy, it brings fulfillment to your heart, is the gift of God. That fulfillment, that satisfaction, is something that we get to keep if we live like this. But if we do this, we lose it. Because it's a part of the restoration process. It is the only thing that brings us back to God. And we're not here for ourselves. If there were no God, there would not be this cycle. But this cycle is there because of our human nature. It's in our DNA to get the blessings of God, to clutch onto them and say, this is mine. And you and I may look at it and say, I don't do that. But God does send leanness to our souls many times. And then we get on our knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot about this and I forgot about that. The cycle. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 20. Ecclesiastes 5:20. For he shall not be much remembered the days of his life, because God answered him in the joy of his heart. So he says, look, I'm going to bless you in the joy of your heart. That's the gift of God. I'm going to give you satisfaction of the things that I give you. They're going to meet the needs of your heart. You're going to enjoy them. But remember, they're only temporary. They're not permanent. Your permanent satisfaction is in the Lord. Our sufficiency is in the Lord. That is why Job was able to make it through the loss of everything, because he says, yet though he slay me, yet will I trust him. His trust was in the Lord. And folks, tonight, that's what I want to encourage you to do. Learn the lesson of this cycle. Learn to trust the Lord for your wealth. Learn to trust the Lord for tomorrow. Learn to trust the Lord with your health, with everything about your life. He loves you. His nature is to be good to you. He will stand up for you. He will bless you. But the second you begin to close your fingers, starts the restoration cycle, and the things that we have no longer bring satisfaction. Now notice, if you would, in chapter 6, verse 2. A man to whom God hath given riches and wealth and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not the power to eat thereof. But a stranger eateth it. This is a vanity and is an evil disease. Notice what Solomon says in verse 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun. He calls the cycle of restoration evil. He began to stray away from the Lord, because at this point in his life, he had already learned that I'm going to keep what I've got. And so he said, it's an evil that God lets you have things but doesn't let you enjoy them. And folks, tonight, God does let us enjoy them as long as we live like this. As long as we yield ourselves to him and say, Lord, all that I have is thine. Lord, everything that I have is yours. You just help me to use it the best way you want. And then faith promises no problem. Then giving is no problem. Then being sacrificial in your praise is no problem. I want you to notice, if you would, look with me, if you would, in verse, let me find it here real quickly. There is a sacrifice of praise. Look, if you would, in verse 22. And let them sacrifice. This is Psalm 107, 22. I'm sorry, I jumped back over. Psalm 107, 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's a sacrifice to be thankful. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm trying to help us identify this cycle and the dangers around it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. By him, therefore, this is Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. What is that sacrifice of praise? What is it that is hard to do? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That is what's hard to do on a consistent basis. It's hard to consistently say, Lord, thank you. It's hard to consistently say, my tank's 1/4 full. My tank's 3/4 full. My glass is 1/8 full. But God, if we're going to honor him and praise him and lift him up, everything we have is a gift from him. And we always have to learn this sacrifice of thanksgiving, that it's hard to be grateful. That's the lesson of the 10 lepers. That's the lesson of so many places in Scripture. God, the cycle starts. God is good. He blesses us. He's good to us. We begin to rebel. We begin to take it for granted. We begin to close our hands. And God says, And the response of correction begins to come. And then we realize it after we've suffered, after we've lost the joy of our things. And then we say, Lord, help me. And then he restores that nature. So his response to our clutching is correction. Our results are what? Do we cry out to the Lord? Do we say, Lord, I'm sorry? Repentance, our response should always be repentance. If you have your Bible, notice, if you would, in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, notice, if you would, very quickly. Notice, if you would, verse number 28. Psalm 107, 28. They're at their wits' end, the last phrase of verse 27. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Look at verse number 39. Again, they are minished and brought low. And look, if you would, in verse number 42, the righteous shall see it and rejoice. So we're going to say, Lord, I'm sorry. We're going to see when we're brought low and say, Lord, I see it. Thank you. And all iniquity shall stop her mouth. I'm going to stop. Notice verse 43. So the conclusion of Psalm 107 is verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know what he's trying to say? I'm good in my nature, but we are not. And I'm going to be good to you, and I'm going to bless you because you're my children, and I love you. And I'm so excited to be able to give to you. But you cannot do this. And you cannot forget to be thankful. You cannot do the easy thing and say, all that I have is mine. I can do with it what I want. There's a cycle in all of our lives. And folks, it's what causes divorces. Somebody takes advantage and says, you know, hey, my wife is only half as good as what she used to be. My husband's only half as good as what he used to be, half full or half empty. You and I must learn to say, Lord, everything I have is yours. Lord, I see it. And I want the cycle to never come around. And so I want to live in thanksgiving. I want to live in appreciation. Lord, I want to be thankful when it's difficult. That's the reason why when we're sick, it's hard to be able to say, Lord, thank you for whatever your purpose is in this illness. Lord, thank you. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Many times, and one of my great treasures in my mind is when Susan called me over after probably the, I don't know which day it was of the 77 before she went to heaven, but she called me over. She says, honey, I just want you to know one thing. I've searched my heart, and all this difficulty is not because of sin, because everything's right between the Lord and I. I just want you to know that. You know what? She recognized the cycle. And she said, I don't want all this trouble to come because God is trying to restore me. If it comes, I want it to be the will of God, and I'll take the result. Tonight, where are you in the will of God? Have you recognized this cycle? Remember, it said, whoso is wise, let him learn the lesson. Learn God is good. And God loves you. And God is going to bless you. The question is, will you allow him to give you the gift of enjoying his blessings? But that is contingent upon you and I being grateful. It's contingent upon you and I being thankful. It's contingent upon you and I living like this. Lord, all I have is thine. Do you realize we can do some things to make ourselves healthier? And we can eat right. I mean, you know, you can eat grass and celery and carrots and graze in your backyard and probably be pretty healthy. But you can also do some things that you like, and it's okay. But you can't overeat, not exercise. There are just some things you have to do, and you're doing all that you can, and then when something comes into your life, such as cancer, such as arthritis, such as mental issue of can't remember, dementia, it's not on us. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'll trust you. Then God can use us till our last breath. And he'll be proud of us. And that's what he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Look to yourselves that we are not ashamed when we see him. So we want to recognize this cycle and say, Lord, I see it. I know, number one, that you're good. And number two, you're going to bless me. And number three, the question is, how will I handle your blessings? Young people, many of the goals of parents are to help their kids get a good education. Because we know education is a secret to the future of a good life. But education is not the secret to the gift of God of enjoying your blessings. That only comes from God. And you and I have to learn that. It's a part of this cycle. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, the richest man perhaps to ever live, did not learn this, period. So he came to the end of his life and he said, oh, what an evil that God gives you all the desires of your heart, but doesn't let you enjoy them. You know what he missed? It's the response of God, restoration of God, to bring Solomon back. But he didn't come back. Tonight, learn the cycle of God. He loves you. He's going to bless you. Lift palms up. Be thankful. It is difficult to be thankful. I'll close with this. How many of you men regularly say to your wives when they fixed a good meal, hey, honey, that was great. You did a great job fixing the meal. Let me get up and help you wash the dishes. Hey, honey, it's great. You've done a good job working. I appreciate all that you provided. You're a blessing to me as hard as you work. We don't do a lot of that because Thanksgiving is hard. Saying it, feeling it is hard. Glass is half full. Saying it is even harder. I sure am thankful I've got a half a tank still. Tonight, which way are you looking at things? Have you recognized this cycle? If you do, it's the secret to enjoying the blessings of God. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, would you help us to learn this cycle? And dear Lord, would you help us to realize that when you allow the things that we have to begin to diminish, that you're just trying to bring us back to him. Lord, if we recognize it quickly, we could begin to enjoy the blessings again. Lord, help us to recognize the cycle that you're good, that you're going to bless us, and that we ought to live because we love you. We trust you, not the things you've given to us. Then you can let us enjoy the things you've given to us because they don't mean that much to us. You do. Lord, bless tonight. Speak to hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.